you know Tony, do you know that Tony runs around the block every morning and then he puts it back in the box? 70. My goodness me. My goodness me, 70. I mean, actually it's my birthday next week. And no, I don't turn 70. But we're slowly getting there. Amen. So actually next Sunday, I think, Myra, you were at the wedding where Karen and I are married, 39 years. Next Sunday, 39 years. How cool. I got married when I was 3 years old. It's just amazing. So it's quite wonderful, really. And so it's just great to be here in Levin. We got married in Levin, actually, just down the road here somewhere, and lived here for a number of years, about 5 years, and had our first little baby here, Daniel. He's a building contractor now, and he's just building houses left, right, and center all over the Waikato area. And so we got three boys, and we got six grandchildren. And so they're just delightful, and they're wonderful, and very smart geniuses, actually. Absolute geniuses, amazing lookers. And so, you know, it all comes from their grandparents, of course. Amen. So it's good to be in Levin. My goodness me. Myra was in our youth group. You were a part of the leadership of the youth group. I'm sure you were. Anyway, amen. Something like that. And Kevin was in the youth group too. So it's just great. And some others here. You remember us, don't you? You remember us from the, like, somewhere, somehow. It's over there somewhere. Amen. And so it's just great to be back, and we have very fond memories of Levin, and lovely. Oh, praise Jesus. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Lord, wake us up. Hey, listen, I've written a number of books, but one of them I've got here. The others are sold out. I've got to get another bunch. But this one here, Daily Medicine, I wrote it with this unwell person in mind. And so it'll nurture your faith. 31 chapters, one for every day of the month. And just the short chapters that will nurture and build your faith. And so that's why I wrote it. So just take hold of that. It answers questions on the questions you have, perhaps, and I'm sure you will have, on healing and why people don't get healed. And is it the will of God? And how do you know it's the will of God? And so on and so forth. What about Paul's thorn in the flesh and all that sort of stuff? That's in there as well. And so just take hold of that, and perhaps take hold of it, read it, and pass it on to others. I just had an email from a lady who took hold of this book in Palmerston North, and her husband's just really been struggling with some major health issues. And she said, look, it's just been so encouraging just to be able to just daily just pick up this and just read another thought and just focus again on the Jesus who does heal. Amen? Amen. Who does love us. You know, we love Jesus, and that's lovely, but friends, he loves us more than we can ever love him. He, you know, who has faith in God here today? Who has faith in God? Listen, let me tell you some really good news. He has more faith in you than you'll ever have of him. He has faith in you. He believes in you. You know why? Because he chose you. You didn't choose God. God chose you. He put something inside. He put himself. He put himself, not some other person. He put himself inside of you. He's so great and yet so humble. He comes into us. It's amazing. And he's never jumped out of me yet. I do the stupidest things wrong. I mean, sometimes I say the silliest things and funniest things. Oh, silly. And not that you would know, of course, but God never jumps out of me. Amen? Yeah. He never sort of runs away and, oh my goodness, you know. And, you know, and when he looks at you, he's never in a bad mood. Isn't that wonderful that God's not in a bad mood when he looks at you? He loves you. He's for you. He chose you. You didn't choose God. God chose you. God put his hand on you. Why? Because he has faith in you. He believes in you. Amen. And so, you know, we need to allow him to just touch our lives. He has so much for us. He loves us so much. He wants us to be involved in his purposes. Don't work for God. Don't work for him anymore. Work with him. There's a huge difference. And so work with God. Partner with him. And he's for you. He's absolutely for you. Amen? Well, I'm involved in a bunch of things. We handed over our church in 2008. And then we started traveling around New Zealand, Australia, some parts of the States, but also Europe particularly. And we actually lived in Europe for a number of years, and we aim to plant churches that plant churches. So we're finding people that will plant churches. So we're not just planting a tree, we're planting a forest. In fact, we're not just planting a forest, we aim to plant forests. And it started. There are about 7 churches in the network already. There's a number of folks in the network that are wanting to plant churches as well and plant their own networks as well. So, and it's starting to happen, starting a church planting training center in the south of Holland, which will reach Belgium. Listen, south of Holland, Belgium, France, there are whole towns, whole villages that have no clue who Jesus is. There's no church there, even if they wanted to go to church. There's no vital, vibrant church there at all, and we need to change that, amen? We need to see that change. So it's one of the mission fields of the 21st century. So I'm there 4 times this year, just got back a week and a half ago, and it was just delightful to be part of the team there and to see things progress. And all of them have got strategizing to plant, not one, but a number of churches that's in their DNA, and we're a church planting network, so we're able to plant forests. Amen.
Amen.
And so network strongly together relationally. So it's just wonderful to begin to see that happen. I had that scripture given to me, you know, in 1989, and then since then I've been praying about Western Europe, wondering how that's all going to work, and now I'm beginning to see some of the things that I had on my heart many, many years ago. And so don't give up, amen? Keep going, keep believing God, don't give up, and because he believes in you. Isn't that wonderful? He's the kindest person I know. It's so nice. Yeah, he's like Alan, just a nice person, just a lovely person. Amen. Great being with Alan and Anne in their home. Never see Anne in the morning. Did you know that Alan gives Anne breakfast in bed every morning? Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? That's great. I mean, it hasn't stopped for 11 years. 12 years, not counting, mind you. It's amazing. Amazing. So you never see Anne in the morning. She's busy having breakfast. A whole lot. I don't get breakfast. Yeah, I've got to come out. But there you go. Yeah, I've got to make my own toast and everything. The whole deal. Yeah, make my own cup of tea and the whole lot. But Anne gets it. No problem. Yeah. And so isn't that lovely? It's wonderful. So it's just great being with him. And it's lovely to be here with Tony and Lynette. Lynette's so lovely, isn't she? Amen. She really is so lovely. She really needs our help. Amen. Amen. Oh, Tony, you're okay too. Yeah. Amen. It's good stuff. Good stuff. So there we go. A friend was coming out of church that was in front of me, and he was at Hope Centre, and he was coming out of church this morning, and Tony was standing at the door, you know, shaking hands, and he grabbed my friend by the hand, as he would, you know, and pulled him aside, and he said, you need to join the army of the Lord. And my friend replied, well, I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor. And Pastor Tony said, well, how come I don't see you except at Christmas and at Easter? And he whispered back, I'm in the Secret Service. I like that. It has nothing to do with the message. I thought we'd just have a wee laugh. You know, it's lovely. On a beautiful day in the South Pacific, a Navy ship spied smoke coming out of one of 3 huts on an uncharted island. Upon arriving at the shore, they were met by a shipwrecked survivor. And he said, I'm so glad you're here. I've been alone on this island for more than 5 years. And the captain replied, he says, you're all alone on this island. How come I see 3 huts? The survivor said, oh, he says, well, I live in one and I go to church in the other. And the captain said, well, what about the third one? He said, well, that's where I used to go to church. we won't talk about that anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. God heals people. Last week I was in a church and I prayed for a number of folks, declared healing over their lives, and God just instantly instantly healed in Jesus' name. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. See, Psalm 103 verse 3 says, he forgives some of our sin.
No, really?
He forgives most of our sin.
No, okay.
He forgives 90, I think this is pretty cool. He forgives 96% of our sin.
No.
He forgives all our sin. Now, who believes that? Okay, now the second part of the verse, same verse, second part of the verse says, he heals all our diseases.
Yeah.
Right there, you've got a whole bunch of questions, I know, but he heals. We believe the first part, let's believe the second part, yeah, that he heals all of our diseases,
yes,
all those viruses, all those diseases,
yes,
in Jesus' name. We need to see them go in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And that might be a little journey for you, but begin to pray. Don't pray the problem, pray the promise. Amen?
Yeah.
There's a big difference. Pray the promise of God, the promises of God for you, health and life for you, life in all its fullness, all its abundance. And the devil wants to come and steal, and he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. He wants to destroy this church. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy the good things that, you know, that are around you. But God wants to come and give life in all its fullness.
Amen.
I've discovered. I mean, I became a Christian. I became a Christian 43 years ago. 43 years ago, like when I think I was one then. Yeah, I was two when I got married. But anyway, so became a Christian. And when was at a youth camp, and the preacher asked, "Come forward if you believe in Jesus, if you say yes to Jesus." And I went forward, and I just shook his hand, and then went back to my seat again. At the end of the service, I'm going to make that opportunity available. If you don't know Christ, if you've never asked Christ to come into your life, or if you have been away from God, you know who you are. You need to come back to God. He's longing for you. He's standing at the door just looking for you. Oh, well, I wonder if she'll come back. I wonder if he'll come back. I wonder if they'll connect again, because I want to connect with them. I so long to connect with them. He so longs to connect with us. Amen?
Amen.
And he wants you to connect with him. So this morning I'm going to give that opportunity at the end of this message about just before 2 o'clock, because we've got another seminar at 2 o'clock. Amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I come all the way from Cambridge. I live in Cambridge now. Come all the way from Cambridge to Liverpool just to hear that laugh. Amen. It's just wonderful. It's just lovely. Anyway, so he heals today. So what we're going to do is just going to pray right now. And also at the end of the service, feel free, when we finish at the end of the service, feel free to come forward. We'll just pray with you just while everybody has a coffee and you know, does all the other stuff they need to do. But we can pray for you as well. But we're going to pray right now. We're going to sow that seed of healing right now in Jesus' name. So I just wonder if you just raise your hand if you need healing in your body. If you just need healing in your body. Someone over this side here has, they need healing in the, they just have pain right now that it's in their body. Who's that person on this side over here? Someone has pain. Just raise your hand really high. You have pain. Okay. Where's that pain right now? Down there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare your healing power right now. We speak life and we speak health in Jesus' name. Can you pray? Thanks. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus for healing in Jesus' name. For that pain to go. Is this painful right here? So Father, in Jesus' name, that pain going right now. Jesus' name. Lord, you can touch a nation. You can heal a thumb. So Father, we just thank you for that. How's that feeling? How's that feeling? Just begin to move it around. Just to outside. Father, thank you, Jesus. How's that feeling? Is that getting better? As you're moving that around. So Father, in the name of Jesus, that pain dissipating right now in Jesus' name. Lord, that pain dissipating in the name of Jesus. That pain just going, Father, in the hip and the side of the leg area. Lord, we just declare healing. And we say to this body, be healed in Jesus' name. Strength in that bones, and strength in Jesus' name. Just move it around a little, see if it's all that pain right there. We tell it to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How's that? Thank you, Jesus. It's improving. Good. Thank you, Jesus. Well, throughout the service, it's just going to get better and better in Jesus' name. Isn't it? It's getting a little better. In Jesus' name, what percentage? 33%, is it? Amen. Well, if it can be 33%, it can be 50, can't it? Amen. Then it can be 70. So, Father, we just thank you for your healing power invading. So, Father, that person with the stomach ailment, who's that person with the stomach ailment? Father, we just declare healing right now in that stomach area. Lord, we just lay a hand on that stomach area, and we declare health right now. Throughout the service, it's just going to get better and better in Jesus' name. And we thank you for healing. Lord, all the other ailments, where there's viruses, where there's pain, where there's difficulty, where there's struggle in bones, in tissues, in muscles, we declare your healing power to invade right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power invading people's lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Just thank you for health. Lord, we speak the name of Jesus. We declare Jesus over these lives. Lord Jesus, over these lives. And we thank you for life and health and healing. And then it's just going to get better and better as the day and the week goes on in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Keep praying. Keep praying the promises of God over your life. Keep declaring life and health. Keep speaking. The first words were never used to communicate. The first words were used in Genesis to create. And we are made in the image of God. We need to, and we can create. We're speaking life. We're speaking health. We're speaking healing in Jesus' name. Amen. We're made in the image of God. We can speak those words. Words bring life. Words bring health. Amen. You can choose that or not. And so, you know, sticks, we remember the phrase, sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's never been further from the truth, has it? You know what we have to deal with so much in counseling and so much in emotional health issues is the words that have been spoken, the words that have been declared, the words that have been put over people's lives, and they're restricted, they're pulled back by those words, they're held back, they're pushed down, they've been abused by those words. It's not sticks and stones, but it's words. Why? Because words are powerful. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or they're fruit. You choose, the Proverbs talks about. So don't let them be poison over your life. You begin to speak positive. You begin to speak life. You know, when you get up in the morning, people say, well, how are you doing? I said, man, it's a great day. I mean, I haven't had time to have a bad day. And even if you have a bad day, you just have a good one. Yeah, you just have a good one on the side, you know, amen. And even if you get a little depressed, you just go, well, I'm going to enjoy my depression. We'll talk a little bit about that this afternoon and how that all works. Begin to speak life over yourself. Begin to speak life over your family. Begin to speak life over the town. Begin to speak life over the nation, you know. And words declare something. Words establish something in our lives. And you begin to say, boy, it's a good day. It'll start to be a good day. I've just found that. It's quite cool, really. And I'm not meant to even have a good day, and I'm having a good day. It's quite cool. So it's really good. Amen. 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 Well, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Eric Liddell or Liddell. He was the fastest runner in Scotland over a period of time. We'll just pull that right down because I can be loud enough. And he was constantly persuaded, and he was constantly persuaded by family and friends to choose between running. He would choose between a sport and Christianity. How could the two, they said, go together? Why? And he was born in China. He was born of missionary parents, and he actually died in China as a missionary as well. And he said to his sister, who challenged him again, how can you do this running business when God has called you to be a missionary in China and to study in that area? And he said, God made me fast. And when I run, you remember the story? When I run, I feel his pleasure. He said this also. He said, we're all missionaries wherever we go. We either bring people nearer to Christ or we repel them from Christ. What are you doing? I hope you're bringing people to Christ I hope you're making people hungry and thirsty for this God who loves us so much and loves them so much. It also says true spiritual growth never leads us away from lost people. It always leads us into their midst. And so you are growing in Christ. Allow that to breed something in you towards the lost. There are thousands in this town alone, thousands who don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. That's why we plant churches that plant churches. Amen? And so, but Al, he influenced generations. You're influencing people no matter where you are and what you're working. He won a gold for the 400 meters race, and he wasn't even meant to run that race because he said no to running on a Sunday. He was in church preaching somewhere when the Olympics were on, and then the next day even the king had a meeting with him, if you remember the story, to try and persuade him to run his best race, which was 100 meters, I think. But he thought, well, I'll go on the 400 meters, that's on a Monday. He won that, and the record wasn't beaten for 23 years. He influenced people. Amen? So I want to encourage you. I just really want to encourage you this morning. And I don't know if you realize that 99% of us are not full-time paid pastors or evangelists or in so-called full-time paid ministry or church activity. Have you realized that? Do you know that? I mean, that's quite an interesting stat, really. And yet there are so many conferences for pastors and leaders, which is great, which is all wonderful. But the truth is that we're all in ministry. Every one of us is in ministry. Every one of us carries something. Every one of us, God says you can do it. Every one of you have talents and gifts and abilities. Amen. Gifts and abilities that I don't have. You're meeting people that I'll never meet. And so you're all in ministry. We're all priests. We're all ministers. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, let's have a look at that this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says this. It says, and you are living stones. Turn to somebody and say, you're a lovely looking living stone. Oh, there you go. Oh, we had gorgeous living, lovely living stone. Amen. You're living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. You are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. It doesn't say you will please God. It says you will, you that please God. You offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. You're a holy nation. You're a holy priest. Let's have a look at verse 9 and 10. Beautiful scriptures. But you are not like that. You're a chosen people. You're a chosen people. God has chosen you. I don't know if you ever played a game. Well, I don't know if you're allowed to anymore at school. Well, actually, Tony was telling me that he played this game in the 50s when he was at high school. And it's Barbador or Balderdash or something or other. Do you remember that? What do you call it here? Bull Rush. That's the one. Yeah, not Balderdash. Bull Rush. That's the one. And you had to stand there and you had to, and so then you had teams and you had to get into teams for this. Well, we had to get into teams anyway down south. We did that. And so you chose two captains and they picked the team, for this game. And, better have Klinkenberg, I suppose. Gets to after about the 20th. Klinkenberg's left. Better have Klinkenberg. Listen, God chose you, not second, not third. God chose you first. God put his hand, God, not the Prime Minister of New Zealand, not the President of any country. Not some well-known person chose. No, God. God, the one who put presidents and prime ministers and royalty in place. He's the one He's the one that chose you. He's the one that put his hand on you. So listen, friends, you didn't choose God. John 15, we think, you know, when I was younger, I thought, well, God's pretty, that's pretty cool that, you know, I've chosen God. No, 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 no. God chose you. God put something inside of you that enabled you to reach out to him. God put his hand on you. God tagged you. And it says this here in verse 9, but you are a chosen people. You are royal priests. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. You're a holy nation. You're God's own very own possession. You're not somebody else's possession. You're God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you've received God's mercy. God is for you. God is a kind person. God chose you. God loves you. God believes in you. God has faith in you. Amen. God chose you. You're a holy people. Holiness, the actual, the root word, the basis of that word, there's some beautiful pictures there. It means different. You're a different person. Don't try to be the same as this world. You're not the same. You've got different values. You're from a different value system. You've got a different DNA. There's a whole different DNA within you. You're a citizen of heaven. Amen. And so you've got a whole different value system. You're different. That's why the temple was called holy, because it was different. That's why the priests were holy back there. Why? Because they were different. They were separate. And it's not separated from, it's separated to God. Sometimes we think holiness is separated. We've got to shun this and stop this and not. No. The focus is Jesus. The focus is we're separated to Jesus. And when we focus our eyes on the righteous one, holiness comes into play. And it's not that you're going to be holy, friends. Try to be holy. Hopeless. It'll never work. You fail straight away. Try to be holy. Can't be holy. This is impossible. Only God can make you holy. You ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. You say yes to him. You're holy. So just live as a holy person. Just walk in holiness. Because you have royal blood flowing through your veins. He chose you. And so you're priests. You're set apart from God. And God has placed you. And God has planted you where you are. It's no accident that you happen to be in Foxton. It's no accident that you happen to be in Levin. It's no accident. God places and God plants people in certain places. And this book called the Bible was written for you. Not just for the 1% of leaders that are full-time or part-time or whatever in churches all over the earth, but this book was written for you, those out in the workforce, those out in the offices and the factories and retail, being a mum, being dads, all workers outside of the church. This was written, of course, for people like myself, but also it was written for you. Wow. So you can be God's person right there in the marketplace. You can display something of the goodness of God and bleed the kingdom of God where you are. A friend of mine, a number of friends of mine are studying psychology, and that's quite an interesting subject, and there's quite interesting teachings that go on within that course, which are quite crazy. But I said, you keep doing it. You know why? Because God, we need people. We need Christians in that place. And God has you there. So, you know, mix with other Christians and be strong in that. But also, we need good Christian psychologists, psychiatrists in all that area. Amen? And so so sometimes we shun that and we go, no, let's do something else. No, I want to be in full-time ministry. Well, that's noble too. That's wonderful too. I agree with that. Amen. Amen. But friends, I've begun to see that God wants to bleed us into the marketplace as well and influence the areas of society that all of you are in. Amen. And so this book was written for you. So in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, sure you know it, says we are God's masterpiece. You're God's little masterpiece. Isn't that cool? Turn to somebody and say, you're God's masterpiece. Yeah, that's the one. Come on, turn to somebody and say, you're God's masterpiece. I know it's a little bit funny, but you're God's masterpiece. Amen. You're God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do all the good things He has planned for us long ago. So let me say that again. So you can do all the good things He has planned for us long ago. God has planned good things for you to do. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and 14. Everything has happened to me here has helped me to spread the good news. He's in prison. And he's saying, everything's happened here has helped me spread the good news. Nutcase. I mean, he's in prison. And he said, for everyone here, including, everybody say including? Including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. The whole palace guard has been influenced in some way in Caesar's household. In fact, he gives greetings in chapter 4 and verse 22 to Caesar's household. Must have been Christians there or people who were open. He's influencing that area of society no matter where he is. Acts chapter 8 verse 27. Philip met with the treasurer of Ethiopia, a person I would say who has great authority. Know where the money is, know the business. He would know the business of Ethiopia. Working, he's directly working with the Queen of Ethiopia. He came to Christ. He left. In fact, God brought Philip out of a revival and supernaturally placed him on a chariot with one person. Might be that one person that you're influencing that can just change a life or change a family or change or have influence in a nation. He came to Christ. He was baptized in water, and Philip was gone again. The Bible especially is for those, friends. I'm absolutely more convinced than ever. Wouldn't have preached this probably 20 years ago. But the Bible is especially for those who work in the workplace, not only for leaders or churches or ministries set in churches. Friends, let's remember Moses. So what I'm saying is, you're all ministers. You're all missionaries. You're not volunteers. You're called. You're called of God. You don't have a choice whether you get involved or not. Get involved. You've got talents. You've got gifts. You don't minister in those talents and gifts. If you don't minister in those talents and gifts, you will. You not only will you miss out, but we'll miss out. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. I've got the microphone. So let's remember Moses. I mean, he led a small group of people, nearly 3 million. I mean, he led a nation. He pastored as well. If you're leading a nation, pastor as well. Amen. Believe God for miracles. If you're in a business, believe God for miracles as well in your business. Come on. You're in the marketplace. God's placed and planted you there. Not just a stepping stone for something else. No, God's placed and planted you there. So Moses, Joshua, David, they oversaw kingdoms. Wasn't a church. They oversaw kingdoms. Solomon had a huge business. Richest man in the world of his time. Had a lot of money. He has a lot of money. I mean, he's the richest person in the world. Cool as that. Okay, that's pretty cool. I mean, he must have been Dutch. Sure. Joseph was second in charge of a country and he saved it and the countries around it from starvation during time of famine. Huge influence. Huge influence. Nehemiah served a nation by rebuilding. He was a builder. In fact, we're all builders here. We're all building in the spirit and something. We're building something in our families. We're building something in our town. We're building something from your life. So he rebuilt the city walls. Esther is a queen of 127 provinces. Had a huge influence. I was born for a time such as this. My goodness, you're born for such a time as this. Yes, you are. You're born for such a time as this. I wonder what God has in store for this church and beyond. Amen? I wonder how many more churches it's going to plant. I mean, we look at movies like Unbroken. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, Unbroken. And there's other movies there that the guy ends up becoming Christian and actually speaking around the world for reconciliation. It doesn't talk about that in the movie, but he was a prominent figure and worked with Billy Graham in speaking reconciliation to nations that needed it and had huge influence. Chariots of Fire, we've already talked about. What about Corrie Ten Boom, who you know, we know the story, and she had huge influence. Latorno Trucks. He designed the dump truck that is today. He doesn't give 10% away. He made so much money, he gives 90% away and keeps 10%. Huge influence. Wow, imagine that. Dilmah T. I don't know if you know Dilmah T. But Mirel Fernando gives huge amounts of finance to Christian organizations and churches. He's a Christian. A friend of mine met him and talked about his faith, and he talked about his faith to him. Christiansen, who is a Christian who founded LEGO, and he gives millions of dollars away in Denmark, millions of dollars away to Christian organizations over the number of decades. There's an international airport just because of the LEGO land right there. Nothing else, but there's LEGO land there. And so, been to it a few times. So a huge influence. This scripture here, always, it just fascinates me. Let's have a look at it. Matthew 5, and we're about to finish because we need to have something to eat. Amen. Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 13, 14. And it says, everybody say you. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out, trampled under the foot, is worthless. Verse 14, what does it say? You are the light of the world. We always knew that Jesus is the light of the world. Of course Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. We celebrate that. But he says, and he's speaking here, and he's saying to you and I this morning, on the whatever 19th is it? The 19th of March, 2017, he says, you are the salt of the earth. He says, you are the light of the world. You're there to bleed the kingdom of God. You're there to bring light into darkness. Don't pull away from the darkness. See, we can shout at the darkness. I mean, we can do all sorts of things with the darkness. We can shout at the darkness, or we can just come in and just turn on the light. Where you walk, God is. You carry God. You carry light. You carry hope. You carry faith. You carry a word. You carry a prophecy. Don't wait for a prophecy. Give one. They're always the best anyway, I've discovered. I like my own prophecies. Amen. Amen. Getting a bit radical. Okay. So there we go. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand and gives light to everyone. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Amen? Friends, you are salt. You are light. Salt adds flavor. You don't pour salt in the corner of a plate and leave it there. No, you put salt over the food, so it adds flavor. It brings out the flavor. And so you bring out the flavor of God where you are, and you're bringing out the values of the kingdom of God where you are. Bill Johnson said this. He says, if I live in reaction to darkness, I'm allowing the influence of darkness to affect my life. I'll say that again. If I live in reaction to darkness, I'm allowing the influence of darkness to affect my life. Salt adds flavor. Culture changes. We're positioned for workplace environments. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to encourage you. You're positioned where God has placed you, where atmosphere changes, and we dispense salt. We're releasing his presence, which is the heart of ministry. Light exposes. Amen? It illuminates. It brings revelation. And when is the light the brightest? When it's the darkest. In the darkness, there's the bright. We're drawn by light. It's safety. There's hope. There's illumination. There's comfort with light. You're bringing comfort. You're bringing illumination to people's lives. You're bringing hope and safety. You're bringing revelation to people's lives. But because you are salt and you are light. Amen? So you're seeded to bleed and leak the kingdom into those around you. He's pleased to give you the kingdom, the Bible tells me. He's pleased to give you his kingdom. The kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? It's in us. And he's pleased to give you the kingdom. Let's live as children of the King. That's all I'm just trying to say with a whole bunch of words. Amen. Number one, there's 200 points now. Number one, Genesis, that was a joke, it's all right. Genesis 1:3, he says, let there be light. And light, it's God, it was formless, it was void, it was like darkness. And then God said, let there be light. And he injected himself into darkness. And he does that still, thousands of years later, and he uses people like you and I to do it. He wants to inject himself into darkness. He walks into a storm and stills it. He wants to hurt. The hurts turn into healing. Chaos turns into order. Blockages turn into breakthroughs. And he uses you and I to do that in Jesus' name. Amen? Jesus is sent as the light of the world. But the third thing we need to realize from Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. And I didn't say that, Jesus did, and still does. So let's just be light. Let's walk and just be light and salt in this world. And that's why he injects us into sometimes those dark places. Why? Because he wants to illuminate those places. He wants to bring light to those places. He wants to bring revelation to those places. He doesn't want you to be infected by it. He wants you to infect them. He wants you to inject something of God for them in Jesus' name. And so today, I want to announce and I want to commission you as salt and light. Amen? To set you apart. Priests, and we're simply working with God, agreeing with God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for these wonderful people, this wonderful church, wonderful leaders, these wonderful marketplace world changers. And I just thank you, Father. If this has meant something to you, I'd like you to take a faith step. And I'd like you to stand. If this has challenged you or inspired you or just thought, man, I just need to pick this up a little more, or maybe you've heard something like this before. I'm sure you have. You know, I'm standing with you. So if that's you, I'd like you to just stand as an act of faith. See, I want to respond. I want people to respond in faith to this. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for these folks that are standing right now. I just sense that some others just need to stand. That's okay, you stand. Don't stand because I am or because others are. But you stand because God wants you to stand. And so, Father, you're challenged or inspired by it. You just want to remember this again. And not only remember it, you want to walk in it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Help us, each one of us here, remind us what's been said this morning, that we would be indeed salt and light. We would be indeed, if we're fast, help us to run like the fastest. Lord, if we've got gifts in all certain areas, help us to minister those gifts to a lost and lonely and dying and world in chaos. So, Father, we just thank you for who you are and what you're doing. And I just thank you for every person in this room. Just pray blessing and favor over every person in Jesus' name. Let them remember. Holy Spirit, let them remember. Let them remember these words. Bring to that back to their remembrance some of the things that have been spoken today. Lord, I just commission them to be salt and light wherever they are in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if everybody could stand for a moment, if you could bow your head, close your eyes for a moment. Just pray. But if you could just bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment, everybody could stand. And like I said, 43 years ago, I asked Christ to come to my life. And Pastor Tony mentioned that, you know, Jesus Christ died on a cross. He took our sins. He took those things that we've done wrong. He took them on a cross. And on the third day, he rose again. Listen, we're never meant to live without God. God came to this earth. He came and he moved inside. He moved into our neighborhood. The Bible says that word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. And he loves us. He's for us. He really is. And you're never meant to live life without him. And we have a wonderful tool book. We have a wonderful book, a resource that can help us along the way. A handbook, if you like. The Bible. Supernatural as well. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And if you've never asked Christ to come into your life, I want to give you an opportunity now, in just these last few moments. I'd like you to come forward, shake my hand, bring somebody with you if you need to, that's fine. Come forward, shake my hand, and then go back to your seat. So I think it's just important for us to do that. So if that's you, I'd like you to do that right now. And you're saying, Nick, I want to know this Jesus. I want to say yes to this Jesus. And we're just going to leave it for a few moments, a few seconds, and just be aware of that taking place, and people's hearts being challenged. If that's you, I'd like you to just come. Amen. Good on you. Amen. Bless you. Good on you. Good stuff. Oh, good. Good on you. Amen. Anybody else? We're just gonna wait for a moment. Amen. We're gonna pray a prayer together. I did this 43 years ago. Actually, 23 of us in the youth group did it. There were about 25 in the youth group. The other two were leaders. 23 of us said yes to Christ. Oh, wow. That's cool. That's great. That's great. Isn't that cool? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Just want to just give it a bit of time. I know we're... I mean, you can't sunbathe. It's a bit too cold to sunbathe today, so there's no hurry to get home. Amen. Amen. Pastor Tony will buy you lunch if you need to have lunch. No problem. Amen. Isn't that good? Oh, he's a lovely man. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody else? Just want to give it a few more moments. You know, it's amazing that Jesus waits for us. We would wait. You know, I wouldn't wait for the Prime Minister. Well, I'd wait for the Prime Minister, but, you know, the Prime Minister wouldn't wait for me. But God waits for us. God, who puts these people in place, waits for us to say yes to him. I just want to give it a moment more. Just come forward. I know it takes guts. It's okay. So, Father, we thank you. What I'd like to do right now is I'd like to just pray a prayer, and I'd like everybody to follow me, and those people who came and shook my hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me, and we're all going to pray together. Amen? So let's all pray together from the back row to the front. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you died on a cross for me. I ask you to forgive me from my sin, of all my sins. Thank you for cleansing me right now. And I ask you to come into my life and help me to be the person that you want me to be. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? Come on, let's give the Lord a clap. Let's praise him.